Emery, there it goes. I just changed it, Emery. Okay. Yeah, did I do that or you did? Okay, cool. All right, so we're working on. Yeah, I am. I'm getting technical. Well, what will happen is because the latest update with the Bible program on the preaching app, it allows the slides, whenever I scroll up on my iPad, it brings the different slides across, and I can touch on the next one and bring it up, or I can skip one, because most of you guys are totally unaware of this, but most of the time I do not get anywhere close to all the notes that I have. And Amber, in fact, we don't even have all the slides a lot of days. And so I skip over stuff because I look at the clock and I think, oh my, we're way, way in trouble on that. So, oh. Okay, Revelation 3. Let's get back into this. And while Colby's out there getting beaten, and God bless his little heart, all right? Now I know how my pastor felt whenever we take AJ out. And finally, we used to sit about the third row right there, and Pastor Wallace told me, he said, you got to quit taking AJ out in the middle of the service. He said, because whenever you do, all the little old ladies, all they think about is, oh, poor AJ. And then he said, whenever you whip him, you got to take him farther than away from the side door. So, anyway, that boy got a lot of beatings, a lot of whippings in church. So he just had a hard time. So, but all right, unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven stars, hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. You've been thinking about that the last couple of days. You know, I tell you guys in all of these letters to the churches that there's something personal in each one of them. There's an application. There's something that we can probably pull out of and say, you know, that's me. You know, a lot of Christians have the name of Christian, but their love for Christ has waned, waxed cold. And that's what's going on with this church here. Remember, each one of these churches are made up of individual members. A church can't die unless the members die. When the members die, then the churches die. Whenever the members are growing in the Spirit, when the members are Spirit-filled and allowing God to change their heart and their life, the church will be the same way. If we want fire in the pulpit, we've got to have prayer in the pews. We've got to have that. I don't know about you, but I want the power of God on our services. But power comes from prayer, spending time with God. And not just the pastor. The longer I'm in this, the more I realize that this whole thing of standing before people and delivering a message is really a team effort in a lot of ways. Not just the preacher that preaches it up, but it's the people that pray it out. And our hearts have got to be receptive. If not, that thing will just fall right there and that'll be it. And there are people every service, you know what they deserve? You know what they need? They need for you and I to be holy. They need for you and I to be right with God so that there's no hindrance. So the Spirit can walk and move and have free reign in the service. He says, thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. Even in Sardis. You know, he says, even in Sardis, even there where corruption is going on, there where all the things are going on, even in Sardis, there's a few names, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Twice in this passage he deals with the type of raiment, the white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let me scroll down. Over the last couple of weeks, we've read in this passage, we saw the great physician, Jesus Christ, not just the physical doctor, but the spiritual doctor, making a pronouncement upon this church. And he comes and he's proclaiming his deity of who he is. And then he proclaims his discernment. This is what I know. And then he begins to give a diagnosis. And that's where we kind of hung for at least a service. Is this church on the outside looked like they were moving forward. They were doing things for God. But just because there was activity and movement didn't mean that God's blessings were upon them. And sometimes I think that we think that these huge mega ministries that God's hand is all over them, and I mean, may not necessarily be so, but I know that it may be. I'm not saying that if they're big, they can't be godly. And I'm not saying if a church is small, that it's godly, but God blesses in different ways. One of the goals that we have every year is that we should be growing numerically as a church, yes, but also spiritually. How are we handling the things that come in our lives? Are we seeing God's people make spiritual, godly decisions? That's what we want, isn't it? Are we praying for our teenagers that they'll make spiritual, godly decisions and they'll grow? What about some of the ones that are going away to school? We've got Cole is away in college. We have Cody will go away in the fall, right? He's headed to Ball State. So we'll have young men that are in college that we probably ought to pray for and lift up. We have William that's in the Marine Corps. We have young people that are scattered all around, and we ought to be praying for them. And our desire ought to be this, that they're making godly decisions. Not just looking on the outside, but seeking and saying, God, will you help them really to be godly? Because you know, at the end of the day, in our world today, if someone is not walking with God, all the rest really doesn't matter. It really doesn't. The devil is as a roaring lion. And boy, we can hear his roar today. It's everywhere. That roar of the devil is in our schools. So we're teaching our children that there are 52 different genders. That they can... What did you tell me today, Steve? What did you say? Babies. They're going to start babies. So that whenever the young child gets to be, I don't know what age it is, that they can choose what gender they want to be. And you know, we laugh at that. And we think, how absurd is that? Yeah, really? There's a whole world out there that's fallen right into that. You know what that is? That's the roar of the devil. Devouring. This church that Jesus is dealing with, you know what he's telling them? This letter written to this church at Sardis, Sardis needs a church that is real. Our communities need a church that's real. Our teenagers, our young people, our young families, those that are watching online, they need for Christians to be Christians. I know thy works. And last week we talked about his prescription. What needed to be done? So he began to prescribe some things to them. He began to lay out some things that really they needed to change. And one of the things that he told them, he said, I want you to watch. Watch. Be aware of the time, but literally the word here is chase away sleep. Awake. While we have slept, the devil's come in. And then they're told not only to watch, but are told to work. Work at what? Revive. Notice in verse number, where's it at? Verse number 3. He says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. You know what he's telling? He says, I want you to revive. I want you to remember. I want you to resolve to hold fast. But then whenever the Spirit communicates, I want you to repent. You know, God's people, every once in a while, we just need to get along with God and maybe read Psalm 51 and just kind of pray through that and say, Lord, I'm cold. You say, well, I'm not cold. Are you as hot as you were 6 months ago? I'm not talking about outside temperature. I'm talking about your spiritual temperature. How long has it been since we as individuals have gotten along with God and maybe repented of our laziness or our complacency or our apathy or maybe our deadness or anything else that the Spirit continues to work on in our hearts? Then he tells him, he says, I want you to wait. I want you to wait. He says, because I'm going to come as a thief unless some things change. And we see churches today that are like this. Just dead spiritually. Dead. And then where we want to be at tonight, let's close out this section with his promises. He made some promises to him. Even in this section, Christ is dealing with his church and he tells them, I know some things about you. In fact, I know everything about you. You have a name that says you're alive, but truthfully you're dead. And I want to encourage you to watch. I want you to encourage you to strengthen those things that are ready to die. I want you to remember. I want you to revive. I want you to repent. I want you to resolve. I want you to watch. I want you to work. And then here's the promise. And God gives a promise. God gives us a promise. Notice he says, first of all, he's given a promise to the remnant, to those that are there that are still serving God, those that are still in love with their Savior, those who have not lost their first love, Christianity, or if they did lose it, they've regained it again, and they're back to where they should be. They may not always be perfect, but they're always striving to mature in the faith. You know, that's the remnant. And sometimes we think of the remnant as just a few, and it could be a few. But the remnant, notice what he says in verse number 4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. As bad as things were in Sardis, there were some there who were saved and were seeking to serve God. They were given God's promise that if they will walk with the Lord in this world, that one day they'll walk with Him in white. They have lived out the truth in this world and they can be confident that they'll share His glory in eternity to come. You say, why do we do this? Why should I continue to keep going forward? It doesn't seem like anything is changing. It doesn't seem like I'm making no difference. My friends, we weren't called to do all of that. We were called to serve God regardless of what we see and regardless of what we feel and regardless of what happens in our lives. God says, I just want you to be faithful. And that's what he's talking to here. He's the remnant. Those that are still serving God, a few names in Sardis, they've refused to fall in with the world and to defile their garments. And one of the things that I read as I was studying out this passage, it says, white clothing was worn in Roman times during festivals and times of celebration. The white clothing was a symbol of purity and of festivity. But for the Christian, white clothing symbolizes more than anything else, victory. Victory. Because at the end of the day, my friends, our victory is in Jesus. And it's not in ourselves. It's not in accomplishments, political or otherwise. What a promise, he says. He says, you folks who are still standing, you've not defiled your garments with the deadness that is around you. By the way, that could be applicable to 2021, could it not? He says, listen, I know what's going on in your world. I know what's going on in your country. I know what's going on in your churches many times. But you're saved and you're serving. And one day you'll walk with me in heaven. It'll be a time of victory. It'll be a time of festivity. It'll be a time of purity. You know what he says to the remnant? Keep serving. Keep serving. I'm not going to promise you that it's going to be easy here. But I'm going to promise you that there's an eternity that'll be worth it all. And that's the same promise we have today. God says, By the way, he doesn't have to make things easy. He doesn't have to bless us here. He doesn't have to do any of those things. But his promise is still the same. You'll spend an eternity with me. Now, maybe to the young people, it's not such a big deal. But as you get older, and the more you have friends that pass away and loved ones that pass away, and the more you realize the brevity of life, the more precious that promise of eternal life becomes. Whenever I see my world today slipping, no, not slipping. When I see my world today running headlong into immorality and impurity and total craziness, no matter what goes on in my world today, I still have a promise. And the promise is this. One day I'll walk with Him in white. One day I'll be able to truly sing victory in Jesus. I have victory here, but I'll not realize it until I get there. Then, boy, that song will really be shouted from the rafters by God's people. And He says, I have a promise to the remnant, to those that are just... have been saved and are serving God. He says, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. How can we be worthy? We be worthy because He is worthy. Because we placed our faith and our trust in Him. But also, in verse number 5, I want you to see this. He gives a promise, not just to the remnant, but to the repentant ones. He says, he that overcometh. You know, if you circle things in your Bible, you ought to circle that word, overcome. Boy, if there's ever been a time in our world today that we need to be overcomers, it's now. By the way, we're not overcomers by our great faith. We're overcomers because we've been born again. It doesn't matter what the devil can throw at me. I have overcome. Not based on my merit, but based on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christians, we need to live like overcomers. He says, he that overcometh. Who is that? That's the one that's been born again. The one that's trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The one that's serving God. In the midst of a time where Christians are lull and deadness, where Jesus is telling them you need a revival, you need repentance. He says, look, if you don't change, I'm coming as a thief in the night. But he says, to those few names, those that are still saved, and still serving, still moving forward for me. Those that have not quit, he says, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. What a promise that is. They will be made pure and victorious. And then I see a promise here. He says, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. You know what? He's telling them. He says, look, you are made secure because of your relationship with him. God is saying that this is not a threat of loss, but he said this is a precious promise of absolute security to all those who believe in Jesus. I could go into a lot of things about the books that are in the Word of God, and I don't understand all of them, but there are a couple books that we run into whenever we read the Bible. One, evidently over in the book of Exodus, is a book of the living. It's got the name of everybody that's ever lived. Everybody. You have the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the book that whenever people get saved, their name goes into it. I believe that God wants everybody to be saved. There's some evidence that there's a book that your name is taken out of whenever you reach a point and refuse to trust Jesus as your Savior. You say, when is that point? I think it's when you take your last breath. It could be on this earth. You know, we read about people who have gone across that point, and only God knows that. I know some people that I think, wow, boy, they've really gone way past it. But you know, I've seen some people get saved at points like that. And I'm thankful for the grace of God. Aren't you glad tonight that God's grace is greater than our grace? I mean, aren't you glad that God, He doesn't give up. He doesn't give up on people. He's still wooing them and still calling them. And I'm so grateful for that. Jesus is telling these church members that apparently are going through a really difficult time, He says, I want you to know something. One day, here's the promise. He says, one day, I'll confess your name before my Father and before His angels. Have you ever been introduced by somebody and it was kind of a big deal? You know, the person that introduced you, and maybe they said something like, this is my friend, or I know them. Can I tell you something? That cannot even begin to remotely compare to the day that you and I are going to be introduced by our friend Jesus to the Father and to His angels. Now, they already know all about us. But it's like as if we walk into His presence and Jesus is going to say, this is my friend, my beloved. Can I introduce you to my Heavenly Father? Well, I've spoken to my Heavenly Father a lot, but it sure will be nice to meet Him. And all the angels. I wonder if He's going to introduce me to my guardian angel. Yeah, amen. Some of you guys, your guardian angels is like, you know, they're on their seventh life. Because of the way some of you guys, you drive, like Jatana and Wendell. Amen. But, you know, it's like your guardian angel is going to say, whew, boy, I'm glad that one's here. Lord, could I just not go and guard any other humans forever, you know, because that was enough. But imagine, it's like Jesus introduces us. Here He says, I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. Jesus said that the real reason for rejoicing is because our names are written in the book of life. No matter what else goes on in this world, there's still room for rejoicing for you and I. I will confess, someday Jesus will usher the redeemed one redeem ones into the presence of the host of heaven. Here's what He's going to say. That was mine. He's not ashamed of me. He was not ashamed of me. And I'm not ashamed of Him. Wow. You see, the majority of the people in Sardis were not just cold and out of God's will, but it's evident when you read this passage that they were lost. They were dead. Dead sinners in need of salvation. I didn't cover it too much in this passage, but you know what I see in this passage of Scripture? I see in this passage of Scripture Jesus pronouncing that He knows these people, He knows they're dead, He knows all of that. But here's what I see. I still see His grace and His mercy extended to these people, even in this passage right here. Even to a church that was dead. You know what He said? There's still hope. My friend, you and I must always believe that there's hope because God is still alive and God is still working. Now, it might sound prideful, it may sound arrogant, but I'm almost convinced that there are huge numbers of churches that are filled with lost people. And I say that to our shame today. Because somewhere along the line, we quit proclaiming the gospel from the pulpits. And lost people have gotten in and it's become like a country club. Many of those churches, if someone stood and preached the gospel, many of the people would not even begin to recognize it. Have no idea. To those churches, they don't need a revival. They need a resurrection. You know, we're praying for a revival in our nation, but really, we need to see the dead brought back to life. We need a resurrection. There's always danger. That any church can die. Churches die when the members walk with God does. Whenever my walk with God dies, your walk with God dies, our church dies. It's just that simple. There's no outside force that can kill our church. But there's an internal. The great physician has his finger on the pulse of that church. He has his pulse on this church. What does that reveal about us? Each one of these seven letters, practically, prophetically, and personally. Personally, there's something in this for you and I tonight. The question is, am I alive for God? I believe that it's very easy for us to be alive in several areas, but be dying in another area. One of the challenges that I would encourage, or I'd put forth to you guys tonight, the challenge that I put forth to me is this. May I not become so focused on making one portion of my life alive that I allow another portion to die? May I seek the Holy Spirit's leading and input even in the area of revival in my own life? And may I never get to the place where I think, I don't need revival. Listen, we've been out in the muck and the mire of this world this last week. We've been touched by it. We've been infiltrated by it. Every Sunday, every Christian needs revival, probably in some area. And we ought to come into the service as right with God as we possibly can be, but as open to God as we possibly can be. If He puts His finger on a spot that we cry out, yes, Lord, yes, I see that. I'm sorry, God, I missed that. I did not do that on purpose, but God, I'll get that right. I'll do whatever it takes. Oh, that's revival. That's whenever you and I are eagerly anticipating God's working in our heart and our life every single service. Amen? This church here, this church in Sardis, doesn't exist anymore. Gone. May we live for God this week. May we be alive for Christ this week. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the day that You've given us. And Lord, we've just shared some of the things that You've given us over this passage in the last couple of months. I'm so grateful for these letters to these seven churches. Lord, no doubt there are church members from these churches that are there with You in heaven. And God, I pray that You would help us live for You this week. Lord, help me to be alive for Jesus this week. Help my faith my relationship with you to be alive like never before. And God, if there's a dead area or if there's an area that's dying, may I be sensitive, may we be sensitive in our own lives to the instruction, the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. God, help us to live in a perpetual state of revival as we're walking with you. Help us this week to be a living, breathing church, not a dead church. Help us this week to be living, breathing representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost, dead, dying world. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd use us for your glory this week. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. I'm finished with that.